Congress has a minimum age to serve, 25 years for the House, 30 for the Senate. But there is no maximum age, no mandatory retirement, no cognitive evaluation, no term limit. Meanwhile, the average senator is nearly 64 years old. The average House member is nearly 58. And many have spent decades in Washington. Some have even died in office. Others have suffered visible declines in health while continuing to cast votes that affect 340 million Americans. So we ask, when does experience become entrenchment? Should there be term limits? And should there be an upper age limit for Congress? Has public service become a lifetime career instead of temporary service to the American people? I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and this is American First. Our founding fathers distrusted concentrated political power, having just fought a revolution against a government they believed had become too distant from the people. They envisioned citizens, legislators, men, and eventually women, who would leave their professions, serve for a period of time, and then return home. Instead, America has developed something the founders likely never imagined, a permanent political class. Now, according to the Congressional Research Service, the average member of today's House of Representatives, well, they're nearly 58 years old. And the average United States Senator, well, that's 64 years old. Many have served for decades, with some spending more of their lives in Washington, living and working under the very laws they now write. Now, let me be clear. Age is not the enemy. Experience, well, it matters. Wisdom definitely matters. There are Americans in their 70s and 80s who remain remarkably sharp, energetic, and effective, just as their younger politicians who lack judgment, maturity, and leadership. This isn't about attacking seniors. It's about asking whether our political system has become so insulated that incumbency, well, that outweighs accountability, and whether Congress has become disconnected from the pace of modern America. Now, technology does evolve every year. Artificial intelligence, well, it's reshaping our economy. National security threatens to change by the day. The workforce, our families, and the economy all look dramatically different than they did a generation ago. Yet many of the people making those decisions, well, they first came to Washington before smartphones existed, before social media transformed communication, and before the internet revolutionized commerce, and before many of today's young families were even born. Americans are also asking another very difficult question. Why do so many members of Congress become significantly wealthier while they're serving? Many enter office with very modest assets and leave decades later as multimillionaires. Whether every dollar is earned legally isn't the only issue. Public confidence, well, it suffers when the people writing the laws appear to actually prosper from the very same system they oversee. So perhaps that's why poll after poll continues to show this overwhelmingly bipartisan support for congressional term limits. See, Republicans support them, Democrats support them, independents support them, yet Congress, well, they don't move on the conversation. Why? Has Washington simply become too comfortable with staying in Washington? Join me now are two panelists. We have Carson Carpenter, host of The Common Cause, and John Putner, president of Freedom and Family Action. Thank you so much for joining me, gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
John, I want to start with this big picture. Congress has become one of the oldest governing bodies in modern American history. Do you think this is simply the result of voters repeatedly reelecting experienced lawmakers? Or has Washington become this place where incumbency itself has become almost impossible to overcome?
Oh, it's become almost impossible to overcome. And I think that's why you have the need for term limits. You know, if we were seeing 70% reelection rates, you know, maybe it wouldn't be an issue, but it's 90-some percent. You know, I did the Dave Brat race over Eric Cantor. It was my first kind of time in the spotlight. Boy, that took a perfect storm. So, yeah, this is, I think the time has come and we're going to have term limits.
Carson, I look at your generation And I know you're looking at this going, the average senator has served more than 11 years. Some have served for 30, 40, 50 years. At what point does experience stop becoming this asset and actually start becoming this institutional entrenchment that I would assume your generation's fed up with?
Yes, as you can see behind me, the background is the Capitol here. We have been on Capitol Hill all day. We've been talking with staff. And the biggest thing that's resonated with the staff is they are the puppet masters of these politicians. A lot of these politicians lack the creative initiative to actually better our country, yet have the productivity of the puppet masters, which are their staff. And so what you see is a lack of ambition. You see a lack of innovation with our politicians, and you see the very few politicians actually stand out. They tend to be younger. I don't like Zohran in New York. In fact, I despise most of his policies, but the fact is he was talking to voters at 5 a.m. and then later on in the same day was still talking to those same voters at midnight, right? And so you need politicians that have that spark, that have that fire, and have that ambition to actually go into Congress and maybe not just create laws and create more bureaucracy, but actually limit it and bring those laws back in order.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Carson. You bring that up on the Hill. What is their response when you're talking to them and you're asking these legislators going, hey, are you advocating for term limits? Are you saying you need to pack up your bags? You're too old. Maybe you should try fishing in flannel. What is their response? Are they opening the doors to the conversation to you or kicking you out?
No, they love the idea, especially the staff, because I think it's going to be a time like 1992, when we saw a new wave of legislators come in and take over this Congress. Now, hopefully we don't have the same result where most of these politicians stay in until now, like Pelosi, Schumer, among these other people. And I believe that we will see politicians and younger people like myself rise up above the ranks and actually serve maybe 4, 6, 8 years and then bow out. And it might create an environment where we can finally get term limits passed.
Okay, so John, I'm gonna have to say this since we're kind of the older ones. We're gonna give Carson the credit for being young and experienced and having that youthful energy. But you and I are kind of on the other end of it. Do you feel like seniors, and we want to value them, do you think this is insulting to their generation that we're even having this discussion right now? Or do you think they go, I remember what it was like to be 40 years old and frustrated that we're not getting our chance to actually make any decisions that affect our families?
I don't think they will be resistant. You may recall when Nikki Haley came out with the, you might need a test beyond a certain age. Everyone thought, wow, that's a wild idea. And some of the oldest Americans are the ones who supported the most. They had friends who they knew probably weren't capable of doing the kind of things you need a president to do. And that was the question. So no, I think the older generation, even older than me, are fed up with the way the system's going. They want new blood. They don't like that people have been in for decades. So I think this is a message that can carry throughout in any age group and any ideology, honestly.
Okay, well, let's go to the money side of it, because that's the other reason why some of these folks are staying in office. You know, we've had 6 members in Congress die this term alone. 6 members. And all of them have died. They might not be themselves millionaires, but they at least have the PACs behind them. They have these war chests. John, I'm going to go with you on this one. Why is this happening? And do you think it's actually the money is the motivation, or they're afraid that they're going to go out and not be able to get a job near as prestigious of the one they're sitting in right now?
Yes, I think when people leave office and realize how many of their friends disappear on them, that word gets around. I mean, you're very popular while you're casting a vote. I mean, that's power you have. It attracts people to you. And sometimes they get on the other end and say, gosh, guess what? I'm not getting return calls from some of the really important people I used to like to talk to. So it is kind of an addiction. And that's why I think it's a 12-year limit. I know you have term limits, want 6, but I just think at about 12, I see something flip. Just working legislatures around the country, in addition to the halls of Congress, I just think at that point, you have diminishing returns. It becomes counterproductive. And you need to be thinking about building a career. And, you know, everyone wants to make money for their children and grandchildren, et cetera. We don't want you to feel like I have to do this by being a member of Congress and on the taxpayer dole.
Carson, John brought up something very interesting, because it starts at the top there in Washington, D.C. There are 16 state legislatures that have term limits in the United States. Both of them, that can be anywhere from as a liberal California to as conservative Oklahoma and everything in between. But that's only 16 states. Do you feel like that if Washington, D.C. passes term limits, let's just say hell freezes over and they do this, that it will filter down to the states? And so you also might be getting some pushback from state legislators going, no, 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 we like our jobs here too.
You know, I believe that there should be an 8-year term limit because I believe it would be correctly in line with a full presidential administration, right? I believe a 12-year one still gives a little too much time for infiltrators to play in there. I believe there's plenty of congressmen that have been in Congress for 12 years that are getting rich, that are getting hundreds of millions of dollars. And I believe that if you're going to see any lasting change happen, you mentioned 6 congressmen have died or congressional members have died during this year. It's just, what's the point of having elections at that point when it can be overturned because your demographic in Congress is passing away? I believe we need age limits as well. I know that's a hot take with a lot of people. We have a president that's 80 years old, right? And he's very spry. He's still very active, of course. But when you look at a majority of Congress, they're not. You see the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. And you have to look at these people and say, are they fighting for people like me? I don't think so. I don't think Nancy Pelosi would have a good idea of what college looks like now. You can't pay for it with one summer of a job, right? And so I believe that the only way that you're going to see Congress restored in the mass exodus of the people is having a younger demographic in there.
But that's the thing, John, these folks would push back on what Carson is saying and say, listen, we do have it. We have every time, every 2, every 6 years, we have these elections and they keep reelecting us. Are people electing them because they're the best choice? Are people electing them because they don't want to run against their war chest and all their PAC money that they have supporting them? You know, to those politicians that say, no, I think the people choose me every 6 years, yet I can't make a single campaign stop by myself without having an ambulance following behind me. What is their reasoning for being able to justify staying in office at this stage? John?
No, you're right. And that was the end of our commercial 12 years ago was I want to be Eric Cantor's term limit. And so, yes, I just it's so hard to overcome the money to get in as a challenger. That's the problem. If it were viable to run as a challenger, most of these seats, this wouldn't be an issue.
That's the thing, Carson, on this side of it, do you actually have faith that you can see this session of Congress actually passing term limits on themselves? And is it going to take any pressure from the president stepping in?
Absolutely not. I mean, this Congress would be the detriment of term limits. They would all be hypocrites, right? Most of them have spent 10, 15, 20 years into it. And so I don't believe that we should expect our Congress full of people that are 60, 70, 80 years old, right? You mentioned the average is 65 and 58 or something of that sort. You're never going to see term limits implemented because people don't like to be hypocrites naturally, right? People like to be honest. And I would say most of Congress came up here to do the right thing. They try to be honest people, and they're not going to vote that against themselves. It's going to take a younger body. And I think we'll see that in the next 5 to 10 years, but sadly, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Well, Carson, John, let me say this. If you ever want to be very unpopular very quick with the political class when you run for office, just say that you're for term limits. You might be popular with people, but let me tell you, you will have hundreds of thousands of dollars put on your back real quick. Stay with me.
Because
when we come back, we're going to tackle one of the biggest reform ideas that is happening in America today. We're going to continue our conversation about term limits. And do we actually think they're going to finally break Washington's culture? Or will they simply just hand more power to unelected bureaucrats, the lobbyists? Stay with us. Welcome back to America First. We're discussing whether Congress has become too old, too entrenched, and too disconnected from the people it serves. Joining me once again are Carson Carpenter, host of The Common Cause, and John Pudner, president of Freedom and Family Action. Carson, I'm just sitting here looking at this because poll after poll shows overwhelmingly bipartisan support for congressional term limits, yet Congress has never seriously advanced a constitutional amendment to impose them. Carson, do you think it would have been better for the founding fathers? I mean, we put term limits in on the president, we put them in on governors. Why did they not just include term limits in with the entire form of government than just leaving it up to the people?
Well, obviously, with the executive branch, term limits became a later thing, and George Washington set it as a historical precedent, only serving 2 terms, 8 years. I believe that Congress was looked at differently back then, right? They were supposed to be commoners that were running for office. They weren't pushed up by super PACs. They weren't pushed by these outside forces outside of their serving district. They were supposed to be arbiters of their community. And I believe that we've totally lost that in our country, right? There are very few handful of congressmen that you see. And in fact, they're the people that are never talked about on national news that are the most effective legislators for their district, but also for the entire nation. And I believe that the way that we get back to that is I would even support not just term limits, but banning super PACs as well. I know that may be an unpopular opinion, especially with the Republican Party, but that's how you get back to common sense reform with this Congress so that they actually fight for their district again.
Carson, I know John's listening to you. He's either going, hallelujah, preach, brother, or he's going, oh, this could be bad, because you're right. While Democrats, they can say that they're not part of it. Those two things right there are very important to Republicans. So what's your take on these super PACs? Are they having a major impact on this, John?
They are, and LLCs, C4s, there's just so many different ways to give money now that skirt the traditional, you know, you need to put paid for and authorized by a campaign. Of course, that makes campaigns much more negative as well. And also lets third parties come in and really attack and savage a candidate. Whereas before, you kind of had to have candidates own an attack they were doing. And many are legit. They're reasons to vote against people. But certainly that has changed the entire dynamic. And if the LLCs, the C4s, the super PACs, I mean, you can go left or right, however you want. You know, if they're going to back the incumbents heavily because they know there's a 90-some% chance of reelection, it again adds the reasons. Let's at least have term limits to balance it a little bit.
And this is not only happening at the national level, it's happening at the state level. And like I said, Carson, you're there at the Capitol, but you could be at the state capital of any state. And I think the same debate's happening, and yet it's really not getting anywhere because these folks that are elected to office rely on this money in order to keep them in power, not only in their own district, but to buy off other people running. What is your chance? Do you think that this idea, people would say, well, we can't put term limits in because that actually gives more power to the lobbyists and the bureaucrats because they can just buy these seats every few years. Keeping somebody in means that they actually, you know, that they can get things done. Do you think that's a legitimate concern or just kind of an excuse?
No, that's totally an excuse. Just like what I said earlier, most of these congressmen and women lack creative ambition, and they rely on the productivity of their staff. And in a lot of state legislators, they're appointed staff. So to say that they won't be as productive or they won't know how to legislate is just such a fallacy because, one, you see all these representatives come from different walks of lives. You see business owners, you see lawyers, you see everything under the sun, right? You see community organizers even getting into state legislators. And to say that they won't be as productive is just doubting the ability of these elected officials. And it's almost a scapegoat. It's totally an excuse. And I believe that you'd actually see more effective legislation because they have less time to get something done, right? If you set a deadline for something to get done, it is going to get done effectively, quickly, and done right, most likely.
John, how do you think this would affect voter empathy and voter turnout? I mean, I think across the country, in some cases, you have very high, but the majority, you're looking at anywhere from 8 to 12% of the voting electorate actually showing up to the polls and voting, especially when you are only dealing with state and municipal races. Do you think that if you put term limits in, that it would actually help and encourage more people to get involved in the actual election process?
Oh, yes. You need an exciting election to get people involved. If someone's just being reelected for the 10th time and no one thinks there's any doubt, you know, then that race itself is no draw. And we spend most of our time trying to turn out center-right voters in our case. But yes, there has to be an interesting race where there is a chance of more than one candidate could possibly be the winner. So I do think you would see increased voter participation. I mean, boy, I think the Texas runoff was less than 10% turnout, both parties combined. You know, so it really is a small percentage of people involved in the process. And having some new matchups, would certainly create it. And remember, there's several things on the ballot. So if he at least had someone hitting their term limits, there was one interesting race that would get people out to the polls to vote on other races. I would say I did give a little more credibility than Carson does, so you do need some experience. That's why I've been a little uneasy with 6 years. It just takes a few years to learn the ropes. And I get nervous if none of the legislators have at least, have at least 6 years of experience. So that's just a little difference, but I can promise you, Carson, if you and I were arguing over whether it's 8 or 12 years in the end, I'd be completely happy. Either of those is a win.
Well, and I also look at it as a compromise. Some states say you can come in for 6 years, but then you need to take 4 years off, and then you can run again, or you can do 6 years in each house, which gives you 12 years either. I mean, states work with what's best. Carson, from your perspective, looking at this, though, do you think this is something that works better when you have a state that's still trying to figure out if it's going to be blue or red, more of a purple state, or when you already have one like California that's so blue, or Tennessee that is so red? I find it very funny that Tennessee and term limits, they all speak it, none of them want that. But blue, very blue Democrat California, they're all about it. Help me out here. Figure this out.
It's because the Democrat wave and the liberal wave wants younger politicians, and they fully embraced it. Look at New York, look at California, look at Illinois, look at all of these liberal states, right? And they fully embrace these younger politicians that, yes, do lack experience. And to John's point, you do need experience to have good, effective policy. And that's why you don't see any of it with these people. And so we do need young Republicans. We do need people that have actual experience. And there are plenty of them up here on Capitol Hill. But unfortunately, they never leave. They never leave. They want to stay in this bubble. They want to stay here for the power. And I believe there has to be a migration from Washington, D.C. to the rest of our country with young Republicans, young conservatives, to bring it back to their communities and run for these seats.
You know, it's interesting what Carson just said, John. I feel like a light bulb just went over my head, just went on. Are Republicans going to lose? Trump was able to bring them in, but are Republicans going to lose if they continue to fight term limits at the state level? Or is this going to be the way that we get young folks to come over to the Republican Party?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, when we poll, we always say, hey, if the election were held today, I think the Democrats would be in a pretty good spot, but the election's not today. And we'll see how this plays out. But yeah, any kind of innovative ideas, I mean, you've got to have them now. People are fed up. They're fed up with both parties. Now, most do prefer one party or the other. So I wouldn't say they're true independents in most cases, but they are fed up with both parties. And there's going to have to be some innovation here. Look at new ideas and just kind of the spirit of the First Amendment within party arguments, too, to not shoot down an idea as not being one of your party's ideas for internal discussion. So, yes, I think term limits are going to be one of the tips that's not that hard to sell, and that they should try getting behind and actually enacting some places.
Carson, do you think it's easier to sell term limits or closed primaries to your age group?
I would have to say term limits would be a lot easier, right? I think closed primaries, a lot of younger people recognize that wouldn't solve a lot of the problems that are tied into the misuse of Congress, right? Especially with the super PACs, among other things. And so I would have to say younger people like myself would just want blanket term limits, right? We wouldn't want any of the term limits where you can do 4 years and then wait a certain amount of time and then come back, because you get the original good candidate with good virtuous ask for the district, and then they start a consulting firm in that 4 years, and then they come back and you don't recognize the person, right? So make it simple, make it easy, and make it honest. Let's just do blanket term limits.
And that's a very interesting approach to it. John, when you're listening to this conversation, another thing that has come in, they've said, well, forget about age. Why don't we just do an independent medical and cognitive evaluation? Couldn't that be a way to not have to put these term limits in or put an age maximum in? Just say that a doctor signs off, or do you think that could become corrupted as well?
Well, no, I mean, that's certainly a separate issue and could be fine. Had more support than people thought when Nikki proposed it. But no, I think the problem here is people are very cognitive, milk the system and make money off it. So, I don't think the test addresses the central issues. as you said at the beginning, the founders wanting people to come in, make laws, go back and live under the laws, not be enriched by the system where they're in the bubble, as Carson described it, where this is how you go about learning how to increase your wealth while you're sitting in Congress representing people. So we want them back out. It's not a matter of, you know, someone not being cognitively able. I'll say some of the sharper people might be the ones who know how to best abuse the system, I'm afraid to say.
Well, and that's my question for you, John, because you're up there on the Hill, and you're right, the staffers do need to come home, and often they do, but then they never get the experience of running for school board or county commission or moving on up. Instead, they go straight, well, I'm just going to go back to D.C. as a senator because I was chief of a senator for 10, 15 years. Do you think that we have lost that appeal? Because so often in these local parties, in these state, in these county parties, they don't give enough credit to those in the youth that want to get involved. Or we don't, more importantly, we don't necessarily reward those who have worked up through the years in the different offices and have spent 20, 30 years in their community. Instead, we go for the guy that already can write the biggest check to win. Is there anything, Carson, that you think your generation can do to change that standard that has been preset by the ones before you?
Well, if we're not going to get rid of super PACs, we need super PACs to put money into smaller races, right? That would increase the importance of these smaller races. I believe everybody gets a ballot, right? They all fill out every dot. You know, me, myself, I actually fill out every dot because I believe if I leave any of the dots empty, you know, my vote might not get counted. Something might go wrong with the system. So I believe that there has to be more emphasis than just that fact of, oh, I need to fill out every single dot on my ballot to make sure that, you know, my vote gets casted and I'm only going to vote Trump and the top candidates. I believe that there has to be an emphasis and monetary support, even whether it's from the local community, local businesses, or if we're going to keep super PACs around, there has to be a quota. There has to be some type of measures to support these local races. And that's when you'll see it actually becoming important once again at the state level.
Well, if these super PACs stay around, I would like to see every politician sort of like NASCAR wear patches with what super PAC actually contributed to them. I think that would be, in the world of transparency, that would be the best way to handle. I want to thank you, Carson and John. Thank you so much for joining us today with this subject.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, America has always believed that leadership is earned. It's not inherited. It's not guaranteed. And certainly should not be permanent. This debate isn't really about age. It's about accountability. It's about whether public office continues to belong to the people or gradually belongs to the politicians who occupy it. Now, some of America's greatest leaders served distinction well into their later years, while others, well, they remained in office long after they should have stepped aside. The challenge is creating a system that respects experience without rewarding permanence, and values wisdom while making room for new leadership, and that reminds every elected official from City Hall to Capitol Hill that public office is exactly that, public. It belongs to the American people, not to the individual holding the seat. If we believe maturity is important enough to establish minimum ages for serving, perhaps it's also reasonable to ask whether Congress should adopt standards that ensure those entrusted with governing remains fully capable of carrying out their responsibility. Because preserving our republic requires more than just free and fair elections. It actually requires the courage to reform the institutions entrusted with protecting it. Thank you to our guests for a thoughtful discussion, and thank you for watching. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been America First.